This video summarizes the book, The Creation of Superman, 1986, by Dr. Raymond W. Bernard. In a world where the release of our sexual fluid is considered normal and abused, Dr. Raymond's articulate scientific teachings will open your eyes to never again waste your vital essence. It is time to wake up and understand how our reproductive organs actually work and how the secretions they produce are literally priceless. No medicine, supplements, exercise, or meditation can replace the value of our sexual secretions. We promise you that by the end of the video, you will think twice before wasting your God-given source of power. When a man loses his seed in generation or sex indulgence, he throws away his creative substance and, in so doing, hastens death. He might be unaware of the reasons behind his constant awareness of life's unpredictability and the persistent dread of death, yet it exists within the average, ordinary individual, provided they are truthful and willing to acknowledge it. This state of consciousness is caused by the loss of life, the life which should be retained within the body for its own health and increased vitality, and the strengthening of the mind. The punishment for the waste of life fluid is not an act of supernatural vengeance, but the physiological consequence of the loss of the power which animates the body. It doesn't occur suddenly, but gradually. This gradual dying that we call old age is the natural result of sex indulgence. Old age is simply the product of weakened sex glands as a result of previous abuse, is proved by the following statements by Dr. Voronoft. Decrepit old men are, in reality, eunuchs. They have been emasculated. I have never known a eunuch to exceed the age of 60. Well before death, they have the appearance of old men, and from this one might be tempted to attribute a very advanced age to them. But this would be a pure illusion. They have every appearance of being effectively aged, dry skin, bloated body, dull eyes. They have a stooping gait, which gives one the impression that they are over 100 years old. Their death seems to be the normal end of old age, but verification of the facts usually indicates that they died when between 50 and 60 years of age. Their aspect is the outcome of the fact that, deprived of the essential factor of youth and vigor, they have prematurely aged and have died well before the term ordinarily attained by normal men. The absence of internal secretions from the sexual glands leads to a shorter life. A body without these crucial organs, which when suppressed, result in poor blood quality, fragile bones, weaker muscles, increased fat and imperfect nutrition, inevitably experiences overall weakening. It becomes more susceptible and less capable of resisting the factors that typically cause death long before the normal physiological lifespan. It may be affirmed then that deprivation of the interstitial gland's internal secretion accelerates the advent of old age and shortens life. On the other hand, the maintenance of this source of vital energy is the best guarantee of longevity. Men who are endowed with active interstitial glands and in whom the functioning of these glands is not extinguished live to be very old. If an old man may be temporarily rejuvenated by the implantation of the testicles of a goat or a monkey, surely he would have never grown so old if he had retained his own in a normal condition by a continent life. Senility, which is a product of sterility or impotence, is an after-effect of persistent sexual indulgence. Weak genital glands, like any other weak part of the body, may be brought back to their normal state by the conservation of their secretions and by the purification of the blood through a natural diet. The medieval alchemists were really endocrinologists, and the magnum opus which they sought was not the artificial creation of gold out of lead, but the sublimation and refinement of sexual energy, which when denied a lower outlet, turned into higher brain power through the ascent of the kundalini force from the pelvis to the brain. The conservation and transmutation of this vital force was their elixir of everlasting youth and the secret of physical immortality for which they sought. Dr. J. R. Brinkley, an eminent endocrinologist, expresses the physiological reasons for sex hormone conservation as follows. I have not swerved from my original conception that the source of all human energy is sex energy, which is another way of saying that the glandular system of man is a chained system of series of connecting loops, mutually assisting or depressing each other. Their secretions, of which series the genital gland seem to have the power of most directly stimulating, and in a measure dominating the human body and mind by their particular kind of hormones. The hormones manufactured by the sex glands and distributed by the bloodstream for the nourishment of all the tissues of the body. An English physician, Dr. Nags, writes on this same subject. Strict continence enables the essence of these sexual secretions to be reabsorbed into the body. This not only makes for health, but also builds up those creative, intellectual, and intuitive faculties which show themselves in the work we do. Moreover, when we have learned to control this reproductive function, to turn inwards the mighty forces which it represents, we have solved one of the important problems of existence which bring us nearer to that superhuman stage to which we must ultimately attain. The disease of senility may be permanently cured. Death is not a sudden occurrence. It is the termination of a slow process of dying. This dying or cellular disintegration may commence at birth. It is hastened by eating decaying, dead food and by losing seminal fluid. This fluid, when retained within the body, becomes the elixir of eternal youth. Undeveloped men and women believe that sex is a plaything, something which has no other purpose than to afford them amusement. But developed men and women know that this creative power has far more important uses than merely to be wasted in thoughtless indulgence. The sex glands are the engines of the human body, the generators of organic energy. This energy, if conserved, may become the motive power behind all accomplishments in life. The popular idea that most geniuses led immoral lives is false, as a study of their biographies proves. The reverse is rather the case, for creative ability, whether along artistic or intellectual lines, is a sublimated expression of the same vital energy, which the average individual usually dissipates through sexual channels. Therefore, the supermen and the great geniuses of the past invariably led strictly continent lives. The few talented individuals who did not may not be classed among the spiritually highest. Their work lacks a certain subtle quality, which is present in a Beethoven symphony or in a painting by Leonardo da Vinci, that only results from a sublimation of sex energy. Apollonius of Tyana, who at the age of 20, said, I am resolved never to marry and to abstain from the company of all women whatsoever. The following celebrated individuals led strictly chaste lives. John the Baptist and Jesus, greatest of prophets, Hypatia, Thomas a Kempis, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, Joan of Arc and Savonarola, greatest of mystics and martyrs, Pythagoras, Plato, Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas, Francis Bacon, Spinoza, Leibniz, Locke, Pascal and Kant, greatest of philosophers, Newton, greatest of scientists, Handel and Beethoven, greatest of composers, and Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and Raphael, greatest of painters. The following great men lived continently during the creative period of their lives: Zoroaster, Moses, Buddha, St. Paul, Plutarch, St. Augustine, Dante, St. Francis, Erasmus, Descartes, Diderot, Milton, and Schopenhauer. The chastity of the supermen is due not only to spiritual and ethical principles, but also to physiological reasons, which constitute a body of physiological facts which deal with the origin and transformations of vital energy, and with the intimate relationship existing between the genital glands and the lymphatic, vascular, and nervous systems. The human body, like a dynamo, directly draws electric power from the ether. Through lung and skin respiration, etheric power is absorbed gathering at the solar plexus, the sympathetic nervous system's battery. This electric energy, known as the life force, then moves to the sex glands. Here, combined with elements from the blood, it condenses into seminal fluid. This secretion conveys vital energy to various ductless glands, nerve centers, and body organs. In females, the sex secretion travels from the ovaries and travels through the oviducts to the uterus. In males, the sex secretion travels from the testicles through the vas deferens to the seminal vesicles. The uterus and the seminal vesicles acts as a receptacle and is surrounded by lymphatic vessels that quickly absorb sexual fuel. The lymphatically absorbed seminal or ovarian fluid collects at the receptaculum chili, then travels up through the thoracic duct into the left subclavian vein, entering the heart. This vitalizes the blood, enabling it to transform inert food into living tissue distributed throughout the body. Through the carotid artery, the transformed sex secretion travels to the brain through the blood, nourishing and energizing its cells. In the choroid plexus of the third cerebral ventricle and the pituitary body, it turns into cerebrospinal fluid and pituitrin, flowing through the brain and spine cavity, generating nerve electricity. Persistent loss of seminal fluid reduces cerebrospinal fluid, resulting in a devitalized nervous system called neurasthenia. During sleep, a new supply of cerebrospinal fluid is produced. Energy absorbed from the ether by the sympathetic nervous system, conveyed through the sex secretion, recharges the central nervous system electrically. After daily activities, depletes stored energy in the cerebrospinal fluid. Drowsiness or a desire for sleep occurs. Recharging takes 3 to 5 hours, and excessive sleep might dissipate the newly generated energy through uncontrolled cerebral activity in dreams. Through the sex secretion, elements essential for nourishing brain cells and nerves undergo a transformation from their raw state, obtained from food, to a vitalized condition suitable for incorporation into nervous tissue. The sex glands serve as centers of phosphorus metabolism, extracting raw phosphorus from assimilated food, chemically transforming it into their secretion for absorption and utilization by brain cells. Any loss of this vital fluid, whether voluntary or involuntary, depletes the blood of phosphorus, depriving the brain of necessary nourishment. Every drop of seminal fluid lost brings diseases, nervous disorders, mental decline, old age, and death closer. Unless the loss of vital energy, which includes the discharge of vaginal and uterine secretions in females, especially pronounced at the beginning and end of menstruation, is restrained, one is like a leaking vessel, continuously losing the water of life and consequently slowly dying. A seminal emission represents the escape of developing brain tissue. Past beliefs about two separate sex secretions, an internal one produced by interstitial cells and an external one produced by reproductive glands, were mistaken. The secretions of genital glands, including those of the uterus, seminal vesicles, ovaries, and testicles form an inseparable unit. All elements are continually generated and absorbed through the lymphatic system. Sperm and eggs are not produced intermittently for reproductive needs, but rather continuously. They are absorbed by the lymphatic system into the bloodstream, serving an internal function. Any release of seminal fluid results in a loss of the internal secretion, which is essentially the same as the external secretion when conserved, absorbed, and utilized physiologically. Essentially, there is only one sex secretion, with the so-called external one being a pathological escape of this. Dr. Brinkley, the endocrinologist, says, "It is briefly in my view that both the external and internal secretions of the gonads are equally valuable to the building up of body tissues, and that the gonads themselves are not merely a link in the chain of the endocrines. The gonads in the chain of the endocrines is the master position, and the well-being of all the endocrines is exactly dependent upon the well-being of the gonads. Defective thyroid glands can be most easily repaired by repair of the gonads, and so with all the glands of the chain. The thyroid, pituitary, and pineal glands, closely linked to an individual's mental and spiritual life, are directly influenced by the absorbed sex fluid carried through the blood. There exists a close interdependence between the genital and thyroid glands, as well as between the latter and the brain. Insufficient thyroid secretion leads to the development of a cretin, while decreased sex secretion results in a eunuch, an individual who is both physically and mentally underdeveloped. During puberty, an increased amount of sex secretion in the blood leads to heightened thyroid secretion, fostering rapid physical and mental development. Conversely, reduced sex secretion during senility causes the thyroids to shrink, resulting in bodily and mental degeneration. Dr. Voronoff writes, "No organ can preserve its vital energy and function to full capacity if its cells are not stimulated and vivified by the genital gland's internal secretion." Eunuchs furnish a very clear demonstration of this. All their organs are like those of the rest of humanity, with one exception. Deprivation of this one organ depresses, weakens the functioning of all the others, and brings on premature old age. The removal of these organs reacts as much on the brain as on the heart, the muscles, the bones, and all the other organs. The moral and physical energies both diminish. Abelard, the brilliant poet, never wrote a line after he was emasculated. When a pure and orderly life, the sex secretions are reabsorbed. It goes back into the circulation, ready to form the finest brain, nerve, and muscle tissue. This life essence of man, carried back and diffused through his system, makes him manly, strong, brave, and heroic. The suspension of the use of the generative organs is attended with a notable increase of bodily and mental vigor and spiritual life. Nature finds another use for the unexpended sexual energy in employing it for the building up of a keener brain and more vital and enduring nerves and muscles. In the genital glands of animals and men, there are secreted powerful and subtle chemical elements absorbed into the blood and then carried to all parts of the organism to energize, invigorate, and strengthen the cells, organs, and parts of the body, including the brain and nervous system. Some have gone so far as to hazard the opinion that old age is chiefly due to a lessening of the supply of these secretions. Nature has ordained that all the secretions of the sex glands, in both male and female, be forever retained within the body, just as are the secretions of the other ductless glands. The sex glands are the only endocrine glands whose secretions may escape, and we must look here for the fundamental cause of glandular derangements with their accompanying pathological symptoms. The normal development and well-being of body, mind, and soul directly depends upon this absorbed sex fluid, and that is why an absolutely chaste life is the only healthy, natural, and creative one.